in my head, I was like, well, if I come out to my friends and they don't want to be my friends anymore, like, I can get new friends. I don't want those friends. If I had a problem with my parents, like, that would really, really change my life. And I think talking to a lot of people who are even still in the closet, you know, or open to, like, all their friends.
It's just kind of an open monologue. It felt spontaneous as a viewer, describing what it's like. I had no idea that there was such a thing, that there were a lot of coming out videos. Sometimes they were a person talking to the camera and telling the world. Sometimes it was a person talking to the camera and describing how they came out. And sometimes it was the actual coming out. They videotaped, or they recorded, if you will, their coming out, and then they play that back, the actual announcement, to their family or friends, and you see the reaction. When we heard about that, we looked some of them up, and then we found Dylan's video. We said, and he was such a charming conversation, we said, well, come through the studio when you're in Chicago. He was in California at the time, and he's come through the studio. Dylan, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you haven't lost that voice, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah. So is that a fair description of how you and I came to be, how I came to know you and what you did?
Yeah, it was super random. I think someone reached out to one of my wrestling coaches, and he put us in touch, and I had a lot of fun on the show. So,
what did your family make of the sort of celebrity status you had as a result of that? Did they feel like you were sort of violating some sort of privacy? I mean, it's okay to come out, but do you have to turn it into a celebrity thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, originally I didn't mean to. I actually came out just to my family and my friends in person. There was no video or social media component at all. And then what happened was the newspapers kind of picked up on it, and a news site called Outsports ran a story on me because I was a big wrestler in the area at the time. And it's really uncommon to be out in wrestling. In fact, I'm still the only one of two Division I wrestlers who's out at this time. So
you're going to wrestle at Columbia this year.
Yeah, Columbia University in New York.
So were you an All-State wrestler at Stevenson?
Yeah, I placed in state twice, and I was an All-American.
What weight class?
Team nationals. 160 and, yeah, 152.
Oh, you're an All-American too.
Yeah.
I mean, that was part of the chuckle when you were telling us the story, is that you wake your mom up in the middle of the night or some dang thing, you and your sister, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's
finish
right.
That story one more time.
Yeah, we woke my mom up. I needed my sister's help because I was just real nervous. And we brought her downstairs, and I was like, all right, mom, we have something really important to tell you. She thought she was being pranked. She's like, what? What's going on? I said, I'm gay. And I really couldn't keep a straight face because to me it wasn't that big a deal, but it just kind of had built into this really monumental moment. And she didn't think I was being serious. She's like, no, seriously, what do you have to tell me? And I was like, no, really, I'm coming out. But I guess it just didn't fit, you know, her view of whatever stereotype she had seen in the media or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you're an athlete, your brother who's more artistic.
Right.
And she said, no, that's your brother.
Yeah, she said, maybe your sibling, but it seems odd that you would be gay.
Yeah. By the way, is there such a thing as gaydar? I mean, do you think some people should know, or can you tell? Can people tell pretty
well?
Yeah,
I don't know how to describe it, but I definitely can tell. I usually can spot it from a mile off.
And then do you care or wonder if you come up on other people's gaydar?
I don't really care, but I am curious sometimes. It can be, some people say it can be hard to tell, but I think it depends what group I'm around. If I'm with my wrestling friends, maybe, but...
Well, because I was wondering about that. I mean, if you came out, because you didn't come out to your wrestling teammates, coaches, opponents prior to coming out to your family and friends, right?
Yeah, it was all kind of at once.
Same time.
Because it didn't really...
So then everybody at school finds out, and then they go, my gosh. Or maybe they go, yeah, we always suspected. But then here we have this elite wrestler, athlete, and there are not many of them who are out as wrestlers, or for that matter, football, basketball, baseball,
hockey. Football just had, I think, their first commit who was out before committing. So they've had a few come out in college, but I think Jake Bain was one of the first. So,
what do you make of that? I mean, just statistically, you've got to know maybe 1 in 10 athletes are gay.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah, and you know, maybe it's lower in those populations than just across the board, but I will say, you know, I definitely felt alone. I thought maybe I was, you know, not, I knew I couldn't be the only one, but I thought maybe this is just not common. But as soon as I came out, you know, I started getting messages from all these guys that I already knew, you know, guys who were All-Americans, guys who were on my national teams with me, saying, hey, man, I've been in the closet for years.
That's really? Amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, that emboldened me and also said, made me think, maybe I can set an example here. Maybe I can try and change a few minds. So,
wrestling is such a personal, physical sport. I suppose a wrestler might be even less inclined because other guys or other fans might not like the image of the physical contact between the two.
Yeah, and it is actually more fans and spectators. I find that kids who actually wrestle, they know how aggressive and violent and really rough the sport can be. So when we're in there, we're really focused. We're really in a state of mind that all we're thinking about is competing and kind of hurting the opponent and winning, right? So, I mean, you know, they usually understand actually better than spectators.
But in high school, in some lower weight classes, there have been instances where the young man will refuse to wrestle a female if she's wrestling at that weight.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. I think if you want to step on the mat, we'll be equal competitors and we'll go at it.
Best person
there
wins.
Are, you know, there are female divisions and there's... And obviously that makes sense, but if they want to wrestle with men or if there's no other option and they want to wrestle with men, then, you know, I think show them the respect and compete.
I guess Columbia knew they didn't care, huh?
They didn't when they recruited me, but I got a call from my coach after the OutSports article ran, and he said, hey, I had no idea, but we don't really care, so we'll see you in the fall. And I was like, great. That's basically what I wanted to hear.
That felt good.
Yeah, it felt great.
Are you inclined to trade on that? Like, not only am I one of the country's great wrestlers, but hey, I'm the out great wrestler. So there's a niche for me there, a little newfound celebrity. Do you care about that or think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I want to be, like I said, an example of just what's possible. You know, that your identity can be anything and that you can still compete at a high level and be involved in, you know, these things that everyone else has the opportunity to compete in. So I definitely wanted to be an example in some way. But, you know, it was weird taking on that mantle because right after the story ran, I think my Instagram following, for example, jumped to like 30,000. And I didn't really know how to navigate this. And I was getting all kinds of messages and people asking for advice. And I'm thinking, well, I'm 18. I don't know how much advice I have to give, but...
But you're... Well, because, right, I think all of us should aspire to just be known for being a good person, right? Regardless of your orientation, regardless of your religion or skin color. I should just aspire to be a good person, and that ought to be enough. I shouldn't have to be the good gay guy. I should just be the good guy, and that ought to be enough. We shouldn't have to put me in that special box as though... There's some extra consideration there. There isn't. We should all just aspire to be good people. But you can sure make money on that because as a social media influencer, right?
Yeah.
Does that mean you're one of the persons who, if you're wearing a shirt on the video, then maybe you get a bunch of shirts or money if enough people look at it?
Yeah. It's a really broad term. I'm not 100% sure who fits in the category and who doesn't. I guess I do. I don't like even using the term just because it has so many... strange connotations with it. It brings to mind all kinds of weird stuff.
And do you get products though? Do you endorse them that way?
Yeah, I have. I definitely worked in the industry. I mean, when I was in LA, that's how I was making money. I would stream. I would do live events.
Really?
I had my podcast. So I took to calling myself a digital entrepreneur, but that seemed even more vague to me. So I don't know how to title myself with a job, but I work online and, you know, try to sell products or my brand, you know.
Yeah. It's a weird world, isn't it? But I mean, I could see how that would work for you. You're very handsome. You're young. You're an athlete. You look that too, but you've also got that Hollywood look. Were you in California? Were you in LA trying to get into the business that way?
Yeah. So actually, I had some friends in the business. I have a friend also from the Chicago area. His name's David Dobrik, and he's huge on YouTube. I think 10 or 15 million subscribers. And he, you know, he's probably... he's worth a lot of money at this point. He's made a lot of money and millions of dollars, and it was kind of amazing for me to watch. But he went to my high school, and he was good friends with my family. And when I was visiting him in LA once, he was like, you know, Dylan, you kind of got the face for this business. I think you might need to make an Instagram. And at that point, I wasn't on social media at all. And he kind of made me download Instagram and make one, and he was right. I guess it kind of took off. So,
but so you are successful to the degree of tens and tens of thousands. But maybe to really tip to make a career out of it, you need a million followers or
something
like
so,
that.
Yeah, now I'm across platforms. I have over 1 million, but it's like
really,
it's like 700 some thousand on Instagram, 200 on YouTube.
Really?
And yeah, just all over the place. And there's different platforms and different ways to monetize each one, but it's a bold new world online. So
Dylan Guyck's in our studio, social media influencer, or do you say digital entrepreneur? He's an up-and-coming poet and author. He's a Division I wrestler now. 2 years ago, he was wrestling his freshman year at Columbia.
Yeah.
Took a year off. That's right. Part of your life we're talking about now. He's going back as a sophomore. Do you wrestle as a sophomore then?
Yeah.
So this is a Division I. Is that a scholarship too?
The Ivy League does not give athletic scholarships.
So he'll be wrestling at Columbia. So for those of us who follow Ivy League wrestling, we're all going to be rooting for Columbia now and follow your career. And when Pride Week came, we were just talking about these videos, and you were on the phone with us. You're in town visiting family, and so thanks for coming into the studio. What was Pride Month like, and what did you do any special things relative to that?
Yeah, so Pride's always an amazing time because I get to see a lot of my friends kind of flourishing on social media and doing fun stuff. I went to New York because it was World Pride in New York. Yeah. So New York was awesome. Did the Pride Parade, saw some friends there. And then went and saw, I think it was Kygo, a friend of ours, threw a huge event. I mean, it was the only time you're ever going to see like the Javits Center getting rented out for a Pride event. You know? So very, very cool that came into being. But
Chicago's Pride Parade is pretty amazing.
It's amazing, yeah.
Have
it was the first one
attended or been in it before?
Yeah, I have not been in it. I've had some friends be in it, but I like to watch, to be honest. You know,
I rode the station float with a bunch of us here at the radio station several years ago. In fact, the first year that same-sex marriages were allowed in Illinois, that they were legalized. So then we were marrying people on the float as we were pulling them through.
There's two
ways to do Pride then. One is to somehow get in the thing, and then you see a million people just going bananas for 2.5 right. hours, and that's pretty fun. But then you miss the parade. If you just stand in one spot, then you see this amazing thing go by. And so there's no right or wrong to it. It's all good.
Yeah.
One last thing. When we talk about it now, and I was talking about this with my sons who are in their late 20s, I said, you guys don't realize that when I was growing up, there was no LGBTQ community. There were no friends of the LGBT community, not in high school. There were no clubs. There was no coming out at all. I think that a lot of progress has been made very quickly, say, in the last 25 years, in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you or they sufficiently appreciate how much progress is made or how much whiplash people of a certain age must feel when at one point we didn't talk about it, and now the greatest parade in Chicago is dedicated to that community. That's not a question, but I don't know if maybe you have some understanding about how your parents, say, mm-hmm. really have a lot to process there in their lifetime.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I grew up in a completely different environment. But that's something we have to learn about by talking to other generations and continue to respect. And also that we have to say to those generations, we still have work to be done. You know, I had someone, I had an older gay man ask me once, do people even come out anymore? Or is it just kind of a free-for-all? No one cares these days. And he was just, you know, being silly sort of, but, you know, trying to say how much progress has been done. But I had to say, you know, that actually, there's a lot left to be done. There are certain areas of the country where it's not the same.
Yeah.
And we just got to stay vigilant and be visible. And
I think that's well put. And I think we should remember that. That's for sure. Anything else I can do for you? Any other plans you've got that maybe we should know about?
No, right now I'm just training up for Columbia.
Yeah.
Excited to get back to wrestling and competing.
So at 157, is that
157 is probably where I'll be, yeah.
Yeah. You're well? Are you healthy?
I am, yeah. Just maybe not in Division I shape yet. So we do a lot of running and be prepared.
Well, get at that. We'll follow you on the sports section then. And I guess maybe in the digital universe as well. Dylan, continued success. It's always a pleasure to visit with you. If on the phone from out east or the next time you're in town, you want to visit with us, if we can do something for you, let us know.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Dylan Guyck, that's G-E-I-C-K if I want to follow you. What's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, it's all Dylan Guyck. So Twitter, Instagram, YouTube.
Look for Dylan Guy. All right. Good luck to you, my friend. Nice
to
see you. It's 2:22. This is WGN.